But I was not living the works part. And the works part is the dog shit spirituality. It's filling up the car with gas. It's paying your taxes on time. It's making the bed. It's going to the gym. It's not making excuses. It's becoming a woman who is disciplined and lives a non-negotiable existence, seeking God's will and understanding that God's will is often in the mundane. And I've come to understand that, you know, life is mostly mundane. Welcome to The Corey Lee Show. I am your host, Corey Lee. This is a podcast where we are sharing stories and journeys of experience, strength, and hope. The rags to riches, the unconventional ways that people found God, and the miracles of hitting rock bottom, overcoming adversity, and building lives of meaning, service, and faith. I hope today's story moves you, opens your heart, and inspires you to see how God is moving in your life. Enjoy the show. All right, my pals, I want to dive into one of my favorite topics of all time that didn't used to be my favorite topic of all time by any stretch of the imagination, and that topic is prayer. Now, like every conversation that we're going to have on The Corey Lee Show, it's going to be controversial in nature because we're not going to all agree. Because that's the thing about an opinion is like, not only do we not all agree with them, but we also don't always agree with our own opinions forevermore. We reserve the right to change our mind as we evolve and change with time. And so I encourage us as humans who live in a diverse world filled with diverse thoughts and diverse approaches to life and a diversity of paths to God and paths to health and paths to wealth, that more than one truth can exist at the same time and we can disagree with one another and still like each other. We can still respect each other and not all have to have monothink. I'm a big believer in diversity of thought, in the same way that diversity in the ecosystem is good for the ecosystem and monocropping is not so good for the ecosystem, monothink is not so good for, I believe, our evolution, because we never are subject to anything that we don't fully agree with, which then doesn't push us to develop discernment or to challenge our own belief systems or to grow and evolve. And so on this episode, I want to share my personal perspectives on prayer. But they're not the one-size-fits-all perspectives on prayer. And you might hear some of the stuff that I say today and think, wow, that's just amazing. I want to incorporate that. And you might hear some of it and think, that is not what I want to incorporate at all. And I totally don't agree with that. And both are welcome and okay. We don't all have to agree with all of the things all of the time. So for me, prayer, this has been a topic that has fundamentally changed the way I operate in life. It's been a topic that has fundamentally changed my perspective, my perception, my relationship with the fabric of life, my relationship with God, my relationship with myself, my relationship with future tripping. You know, future tripping where we sit in today and we think about tomorrow and then we think about the next tomorrow and then the next tomorrow and we're like, if he says this, then I'm gonna say that, and if she does this, and we're like hypothesizing and guessing and responding to stuff that hasn't even happened yet. We're preparing. We call it preparing a lot of the times. But all it is like the robbing of our personal power because we're no longer connected to the here and the now, and we haven't actually surrendered anything over to God's will. Because future tripping in itself has taken our will back, and now we're hypothesizing and controlling and thinking about that which isn't. So I lived a life where I never questioned the existence of God. I never questioned that. I talked a lot about my relationship with God in the first episode of The Corey Lee Show. But I will say it again in case you haven't listened to that one. I never questioned that there was a God. That was not unclear to me. Something makes the sun come up every day, and something makes seasons change, and something makes a sperm and an egg meet to make a baby, and something makes our heart beat and our cells divide. And I knew that something was not me, and I have never doubted that there was a higher power. I have never doubted that there was a God. I don't know that I necessarily bought into this ideology of the God of my childhood, but one thing I knew that I didn't do well was connect to God. And the world kind of said, well, if you can manifest it or think about it or make a 1-year plan and a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan and a 20-year plan and a bucket list plan and then think about it really hard and visualize it really hard, then surely you're going to be able to manifest the life that you are here to live. And so that's what I tried to do. And my relationship looking back with God was like a child sitting on Santa Claus's lap. And I would hand over my list and I would be like, this is what I want. And like a good student of life, I put it on a SMART goal. It was specific and measurable and actionable. And it was on a timeline. And when I didn't get what I wanted, when I thought I wanted it, I thought that God didn't like me. I thought that I felt like I was like this puppy dog that had fallen off the back of the truck and God forgot about me. And I felt that way for a very long time in my life. And I feel like the hindsight brings clarity. And looking back at my relationship with God, I spent a lot of my time in argument and philosophy, always trying to find the deeper meaning to life and why cells divide and where we go after life. And it was like deep and philosophical, and I saw nothing wrong with it. I argued spirituality or religious stance or the fabric of life or aliens or whatever. Like I was always in the esoterics. Like I was always not here, not where my feet are planted. And I remember having this, the way that I describe it now is like, I was constantly looking up at the heavens, like, God, just tell me what my purpose is. What is my purpose and what am I supposed to be doing? And I yearned for it and I longed for it. And it was like, I was in this perpetual state of waiting for the grand scroll to fall from the sky and for the angels to come down and the heavens to open. And it would be like, God arrives and tells Corey exactly what it is that my life is supposed to be. And I would open this up the scroll and there would be like clear indicated steps, like all 150 of them. And the more that I found myself ordering from God, like I'm ordering on Skip the Dishes and being mad when it didn't show up in 5 minutes. And the more that I found myself arguing and philosophizing and being like lost in the esoterics and just never planted in the here and the now, always wanting to transcend this human experience and find the greater meaning. And just like, I was never able to live here. My head was up with the fairies. I was staring at the sky, metaphorically speaking, waiting for the scroll to fall. And the more that I stared up and the more that I argued all the things and asked for what I wanted, demanded for what I wanted, air quote, manifested what I wanted, and didn't get it when I thought that I ought to get it or in the way that it should have come, the more my faith was broken. And so it was like the more I prayed, the further away from God I got. Until I got to the breaking point that I talked about in the first episode, where at the end of 26, beginning of 27th year, I was like, F it. Like, I don't want God. I am so sick of this stupid existence and I'm so sick of God and I don't want anything to do with it. And that, of course, I believe, looking back, was the beginning of the final bout of my downward spiral to rock bottom, which was where I would ultimately reconnect with God. I'm convinced now, looking back, that God never left my side, but I was adamantly against him having anything to do with my existence. And now, again, looking back, I can see that the relationship wasn't that, you know, God wasn't there. And I can also see that it's not even that I wasn't willing. I was willing, but I wasn't doing it right. I wasn't praying right. I wasn't connecting with God in the right way, because everything that I was praying for was out of fear. It was out of selfishness. It was out of my plans and my goals and my manifestations and my timeline. And the truth is that in a lot of senses, I was playing God myself. And instead of seeking God's will, instead of understanding that the same force that makes cells divide, that same intelligent force must also be the force that's governing my life and the evolution of my human existence. And surely that force doesn't need to be told what to do. Surely that force knows what I want in a much deeper and more profound way than I know what I want. Because one thing that I've learned about thinking that I know what I want is that a lot of what I think I want is based on my perception of reality. My perception of reality is based on past hurts and fears and trying to get what I think I want out of fear of losing something that I have or not getting something that I want. Like, it's not, I don't know that it's necessarily pure in heart. And now I have enough proof along this path that when I do relinquish my will and I relinquish my agenda to God, my life and my will over to the care of God, I am gifted a life beyond, definitely beyond what I could have comprehended for myself. God's plan has exceeded my plan by a lot. And so when I got into the world of recovery and 12-step recovery, I was taught that I shouldn't pray for myself, not for my own selfish ends. In fact, what I learned was to start praying for God's will. I was to start praying 24 hours a day, and I was to start my day by surrendering my life over to God, by giving myself to God, and specifically by basically saying, how can I be of service to somebody else? And I was taught, or at least my interpretation of the teachings, was that I was to no longer pray for my own selfish ends. I was to pray for thy will be done. And like, what the heck does that mean? First of all, I was furious. I had been taught, like many of us, that like we must set a goal and we must move towards the goal and we must manifest the things and think about the things and obsess about the things and visualize the things. And if we're not getting the things we want, then it's because we're not visualizing it hard enough and long enough and consistently enough. And it was like I was stripped away of these ideas. And so instead of praying for myself, I learned to start to pray for God's will through me. I learned to start to pray, God, have me go where you would have me go, and say what you would have me say, and to whom, and be what you would have me be, which is A Course in Miracles prayer. And it's one that I say multiple times a day. It's a prayer that I love, and it moves me out of the way. And in this philosophy of starting to learn to pray for God's will through me, thy will not mine be done, one of the other things that I started to practice was, what is God's will? Like, what exactly does this mean? And it's something that I hear people confused about a lot. And I think it's really deeply personal. But for me, the way that I look at God's will is that God's will is what is in front of me. And I think one of the things that really tripped me up a lot in life was that I thought God's will must be these big, grandiose gestures, you know, like the grand scroll falling from the sky and the angels rolling out the red carpet and dun, 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 my mission has been appointed. Now I'm clear. When in fact, what I've come to learn, at least at this part, this leg in my journey, is that God's will is in the dog shit spirituality. That's what I called it. Because at the beginning of this journey, when my husband didn't come home, that I mentioned in the first episode. If you haven't listened to the first episode, you definitely should. And I hit rock bottom with alcoholism and I was getting sober and things were difficult. That was a very, very difficult chapter. And I remember waking up and I would text my girlfriend, one of my best friends in the whole world. And I would be like, I don't know what to do. Like, what do I do? The anxiety was so much and the grief was so much and I was sober and I was like so sad. And she would be like, hey, well, Cora, do the dogs have to go for a walk? And then I would be like, yeah, I think they do. And so I would take them to the dog park and then I would get home and I would be like, now what do I do? And she'd be like, do the dogs need to eat breakfast? And I would be like, yeah, I think they do. And then I would feed them. And I literally, this was like months of me checking, now what do I do? And she'd be like, well, do you need to eat breakfast? And so I started to learn this it was so excruciating in those days, but that God exists in the dog shit spirituality. God exists in making my bed, in picking up the dog poop, in feeding my body, in going to the gym, in doing today really, really well. Because when I live today really, really well, I wake up tomorrow with a clean, fresh slate. But when I live today complacent, lazy, in self-destruction, out of God's will, not doing the daily tasks, the dog shit spirituality, I wake up the next day and there's almost a like a life hangover, if you will. The laundry's not done. Things are not, the bed's not made. The dogs are not fed. The dishes are not done. And that erodes at my relationship with God and my sense of self-esteem and my confidence. And so I started to really learn that the way in which I live today well, it sets me up for tomorrow. And I know this sounds like, oh my gosh, Corey, how simple can this be? But like, it's so simple. And I think these are the things that, at least for me, I was missing. In recovery, we call it faith without works is dead. And for me, I didn't understand the works part, but like the faith part, the philosophy and the esoterics and the arguing and the deep, you know, A Course in Miracles and yoga and spiritual this and life coaching certification that and nutrition certificate. Like I was like learning and growing and retreat and whatever. I was doing those things, but I was not living the works part, you know, like. And the works part is the dog shit spirituality. It's filling up the car with gas. It's paying your taxes on time. It's making the bed. It's going to the gym. It's not making excuses. It's becoming a woman who is disciplined and lives a non-negotiable existence, seeking God's will and understanding that God's will is often in the mundane. And I've come to understand that, you know, life is mostly mundane. Like life is mostly made up of mundane moments. It's mostly, like, I don't know, 80 or 90% of it is just kind of groundhog-ish. Like, it's just kind of like mundane. It's simple. It's mundane. It's the daily tasks. And then the 10 to 20%, we're going to see the big things. We'll see a career change or a death of a loved one or moving countries or a trip that changes our lives or whatever. But those 10 to 20%, I'm making numbers up, but that's what I was trying to live all the time. Like I thought all the time was supposed to feel like that. And I didn't understand how to live in the magic and the mundane. I call it the magic and the mundane because it's like more magical than just saying the mundane. I didn't know how to be air quote boring. I didn't know how to be stable. I didn't know how to just be in the works. Like I didn't understand that filling the car with gas is God's will. I didn't understand that taking the dogs on the walk is God's will. I didn't understand that paying the taxes is God's will. And I don't mean these on like the gas in a car is God's will. I mean that like what's in front of me is God's will. What's in the way is the way. What's in front of me, whether it's making the bed or making Christmas dinner or feeding my child or serving a client or making a piece of content or going on a trip or comforting somebody who's in grief or serving another alcoholic or recording this podcast or whatever, that's what's God's will. And so when I started to practice this way of life, I had to practice it with fake faith. And I call it fake faith because I genuinely didn't have faith. And yet I look at that hypocrisy of that statement. I don't know, hypocrisy? In the sense that, of course, I had enough faith to practice it. There was something inside of me that had faith, or I would never have done it. But I didn't have the faith. So I called it fake faith. I called it, okay, I'll do this thing that I'm being asked to do because I am hopeless and desperate and I have nowhere else to go. And I don't want to die, but I also don't want to live. Like I was at the jumping off point, and so I was just willing to take the action. And in learning to take the action, I started to understand that feelings are not facts in the sense that I never felt like taking the action. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm not motivated to do the thing. And it's like, well, motivation is the currency that you're going to get as a result of doing the thing that you're not motivated to do. Most people are not motivated to go to the gym, but they feel motivated after they go to the gym when they were not motivated to go to the gym, which herein lies this paradox that our feelings are not facts. And it's not to say that we should ignore our feelings, But a lot of the times our feelings will change as we take the action. And the conundrum in this, or the thing that can be quite perplexing, is that it's not often instant gratification. And so for me, my feelings did change. My fake faith turned into real faith, but not right away. It took a really long time. It took like years. Years of doing something that I didn't feel like doing, where I wasn't getting any kind of instant gratification or any kind of instant result, until one day I was able to look back with the gift of hindsight and say, wow, living one day at a time while ceasing to pray for my own selfish ends and starting to pray, how can I be of service, and allowing God to move through me while I sought His will, which His will was the dog shit spirituality. His will, for me, in my experience, God's will was the thing that was in front of me. And I learned to just do that. And it didn't seem to lead anywhere. Making my bed didn't give me a natural high. It was just making my bed. But I did find that when I made my bed in the morning, I'd have a safe reprieve to come to by nighttime. And so these little tiny things began to stack on top of themselves into the point where one day years had accumulated and I had enough data to be able to look back, because I was now officially living a life that was nothing like what it used to be. The depression, the anxiety, the urge to drink, the drama, the financial issues, all the things had changed. And my life is now an existence where God has become the centerpiece of my life. Seeking His will is my primary purpose, I guess you could say, being of service to somebody else. I don't drink. I have a daughter who's never seen me drink. I have a successful career. I'm happy. I'm content. Like, my life is dramatically different than what it used to be. But it took me learning to take a lot of action that I didn't necessarily think was going to work, nor did I feel like taking, in order for the results to begin to show up. And a major part of this has been ceasing to pray for what I want to pray for. Now, I know this isn't going to be the case for everybody. I listened to a person talk about this the other day, and one of their focuses was they had grown up and always was praying for other people, and they had never actually taken the time to pray for themselves. And so that person's work, you could say, was learning to pray for themselves. Whereas my work, because I was always selfish and thinking about myself and manifesting for myself, and I didn't know how to live outside of myself, and I didn't know how to live taking the mundane steps. I wanted to be grand and esoteric. I wanted it to be magical. I didn't know how to live in the mundane boring. I didn't know how to be a worker among workers. I didn't know how to serve other people without expecting something back in return. I didn't know how to pray for others without also praying for myself. I didn't know how to say, fine, I submit my will to you. Fine, I'm willing to go where you would have me go and do what you would have me do, and say what you would have me say, and to whom. I did not understand this. And I didn't understand that I wasn't living life on life's terms, because I thought I was, like, I'm living life on life's terms, except that I would skip things. You know, I would skip paying my taxes, or I would pay them late, or I would skip paying for parking, and I'd have parking tickets at the end of the year. And then I had this fear of authority and fear of money, and like, why do I owe this or that? And it's because I wasn't living life on life's terms. And so as I learned to pray in a different way, so I would pray for God's will and I would pray for others. How can I be of service to somebody else who's suffering? And then I would learn to live life on life's terms, the dog shit spirituality. Bills are paid on time. The dogs are walked. I am fed. The bed is made. You know, these like basic things that some of us have a heart, going to the gym, hanging up our clothes at the end of the day, not leaving tasks unfinished, getting the to-do list done, not being lazy, not being complacent, developing profound non-negotiable discipline that isn't rooted in, well, I don't feel like it, or yay, I feel like it. It's just rooted in, this is what we do. And the more that I live this way, the more that life began to work. And it's worked in a profound and magical way. And sometimes the temptation to go back to like, okay, well now it's working. So now I'm going to go back to like, I'm going to manifest something, or I'm going to pray for myself, or I'm going to put it on a timeline, or the temptation is there. It's an old habit, die hard. But I don't succumb into it because this is the stuff that it doesn't work for me. For me, it's been a journey of letting go. This might sound weird, but of letting go of needing to understand the depth. Oh, why are there wars? And why do people die? And why did my dad die when I was 6 on summer holidays? Why? And instead looking at life and saying, life on life's terms. I don't dive into the depth of it all anymore. I just say, well, this is what's happening. This is where we're at. And what is the next indicated step here? How can I be of service? So for me, the journey of prayer has been the journey of relinquishing praying for what I think I want when I think I want it, and instead learning to trust that God knows what I want and what I need, and God's timeline is always right, and God will surprise me. But when I was learning this, I didn't know this. I had no data for this. I was just desperate enough that I was willing to try something totally different. And over the years of practicing life this way, I have been amazed to see that God does in fact know better for me what I need and what my purpose is than I could ever know. And that all started for me with learning to not pray for myself, but instead seek God's will, and to understand that God's will is what is right in front of me. And for me, oftentimes, it looks like the next indicated step is the dog shit spirituality. It's how do I do today disciplined? How do I do today without leaving loose ends untied? Thank you for listening to today's episode. I'm excited to hear what's moved and inspired you. You can connect with me on Instagram at Corey Lee, where I share more on my personal story from rock bottom and faithless to living a sober life as a mom, a wife, and a business owner, and ways that I am learning to deepen my faith and submit to God's will. I absolutely love when you leave a rating and a review and share with your pals, as it helps spread the experience, strength, and hope this podcast delivers to more people. Don't forget to check out the show notes for anything mentioned and follow the podcast so that when the next episode drops, you are notified. We heal one day at a time, my friends. See you next week.